thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest a Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Nellie Gorbea. Thanks for joining us, Nellie.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, in case you haven't heard, the big news this week is the entry of Buddy Cianci into the race for mayor of Providence. Cianci says he can move the city forward, but critics are wary about the possibility of the twice-convicted felon getting back into City Hall. Nellie Gorbea, what do you say? Is Cianci's return to politics at age 73 a good thing for the citizens of Rhode Island and Providence, or not so much?
You know, we have a democratic process in place, and the voters of Providence are the ones who are going to decide who they want to lead their city over the next 48 years.
How about you, Maureen? We've heard some people express concern that Cianci's reemergence will send a message that Rhode Island can't escape its corrupt past. There are other people who are very high in their estimation of Cianci. What do you say?
I have to agree with Nellie in the sense that, you know, he is a convicted felon, but he did pay his debt. He's a productive citizen. And, you know, there's this cliche about the only poll that matters is the one on election day. And I think this is one time when that is the case. And it'll put to rest, one way or the other, the speculation about his future.
Now, as we know, Scott, this is a very busy political year in Rhode Island, and Cianci's emergence will draw attention from many of the down-ballot races, including the one in which Nellie Gorbea is running. What other impacts do you see from Cianci's return to politics?
Well, I think one of the things you're going to see is a lot of national media attention on Rhode Island, and it probably won't be favorable. Thank you very much. The other thing I think is this is a favorable atmosphere for Cianci. He's going to have a general election with 3.5 to 4 serious candidates. And what that'll mean is he can win this thing just like he did in 1990 with 32%, 33%, 34% of the vote. So the calculus really does favor Cianci. He's got a good shot at winning this. He's got a ceiling. I don't know what it is, but there's 40% of the people in the city won't vote for him under any circumstances. But that might not be enough to keep him from yet a third comeback back at City Hall.
Let's turn our attention to some questions for our guest, Nellie Gorbea. Nellie, both you and your Democratic opponent, Guillaume de Rommel, say you oppose voter ID and would like to see it repealed. But you, if you're elected Secretary of State, you won't have the power to repeal voter ID. If you win the office, how would you go about living with the voter ID law?
Well, clearly, as an elected Secretary of State, I will uphold the law, that is the current law of the state. However, I disagree. I think that with you about not being able to do anything about it. I think that there's certainly some research that we need to do about how provisional ballots are being disqualified thanks to the increase that there has been in provisional ballots in Rhode Island after voter ID. I want to look at where those ballots are being disqualified and what are the reasons for it, and start looking at what is the actual impact of voter ID, to say nothing of following up with research about, you know, what's happening on the ground. I'm very concerned about this. I plan to be, you know, active in this topic and have conversations with the legislature on an ongoing basis about what I'm seeing on the ground.
Let's go to Scott.
I noticed the new speaker, Nick Mattiello, decided to endorse your opponent, Guillaume de Rommel. What was interesting to me was the way he characterized you as the insider in this race, because, again, you served as Deputy Secretary of State under Secretary of State Matt Brown. And de Rommel has never had a state job.
Well, actually, I thought he was saying that I was tall, right? That's about as likely as it is that I'm an insider. Certainly, I think that as Maureen was saying earlier, the real endorsement is the one on September 9th. And I feel very positive of what's coming along as I'm seeing it on the campaign trail. My opponent has not had an appointed or elected office, but he certainly has run for office before. And I would like to say that in my race, one of us has an actual track record of delivering projects that improve the quality of life of working Rhode Islanders here in the state.
Let's go to Maureen.
I want to follow up on the voter ID. I mean, you just said we don't really know. And there's mixed messages in terms of, first of all, most of the voters support it. It's been regarded well by national institutions that said it's a model in terms of the liberal Brennan Justice Center saying that it was, if you were going to do a voter ID, this would be the way to do it. And you made a statement one time about that this impacts women. How does this affect women?
Well, it does disproportionately affect women. I think that's been some of the more interesting studies that I've seen. Women have a greater likelihood than men to have different last names at different times of their life. So they might have registered under one name, forgotten to update their record, show up at the polling place. Oh, no, that's not your name. You're not that person. Here, have a provisional ballot. Next thing you know, things are being, ballots ballots are being disqualified and people are being disenfranchised. Voting is an absolutely incredibly important right. People have died for it. And I care very deeply about making sure that nobody is being disenfranchised through this kind of drastic change that I don't think we really had the research to show was compellingly needed.
One of the last substantial votes by the General Assembly before it ended its 2014 session early Saturday was a deal paving the way for a possible casino at Newport Grand. For this to go forward, the deal would have to be approved both by voters in Newport and statewide, and Newport would get a windfall of new revenue if the casino project does move forward. Scott, how do you feel about this? We know there's uncertainty in Massachusetts now with a November ballot question there that could make casinos illegal in the Bay State. Is this about the best Rhode Island can do to prepare for the threat from Massachusetts?
It probably is. I think that casinos are basically a cheap tax on the poor and those who are vulnerable to gambling addiction. That said, every state does it. Our neighboring states look at it. We are going to be hurt grievously because we rely on casinos for about a third largest source of revenue to state government. So the Massachusetts thing, the referendum up there on whether or not to have casinos, will give Rhode Island a little bit of breathing room and hopefully allow us to get our act together, if that's possible, in order to deal with the challenges and the competition that's probably inevitable if the Massachusetts law is approved.
Nellie Gorbea, do you see other things the state should be doing to prepare for the possible threat of expanded gambling in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I actually find it very troubling that our state budget has such a large reliance on gambling. As Secretary of State, I will make sure that our office is helping other types of economic activities grow. That's, I think, the best way that we can prepare against this sort of thing. You know, wouldn't it be great if our economic growth were in other areas and gambling was a much smaller part of our budget?
How about you, Maureen?
That would be ideal. But the reality is it is, the third largest source of revenue. And I think we have to take a multifaceted approach. First of all, the people will get decided in Newport again. So if they want it there, it is going to be a more of an upmarket kind of casino. The other possibility, which is very unpopular, but I think should be looked at, is, in fact, multiple venues. We have it. Why not have it in multiple hotels and things like that? They do it in other states. They do it in Puerto Rico, as you know, Nellie. And it is a source of revenue. And I think we have to be creative and look at different ways to counteract this loss.
Do you want it next to your house in Wickford?
Not because it's not a I live in a residential area, but I wouldn't mind it in a hotel down the road.
One of the other last substantial acts by the General Assembly was a move to delay until 2017 the use of high-stakes tests like the NECAP as a high school graduation requirement. Supporters of that moratorium say the NECAP is putting too much emphasis on one test and was used inconsistently. Opponents say that it's important to have high standards for students. Nellie, what did you make of this moratorium on high-stakes testing?
I think the delay was a wise move. I mean, everybody around the table always agrees that we should have some sort of test, sort of standards. That's not in question. The question is how to implement that. And the NECAP really was designed to rank schools overall and students within those schools. It was not designed as a graduation requirement. I think some of the best analysis and explanation of this was actually done by Tom Zgouros on the Rhode Island Futures blog. You can find the letter that he wrote to board chairwoman Eva Marie Mancuso, just basically stating it's not that we don't want any kind of standards. It's that that particular standard was not made for what they're using it for.
Scott, is this moratorium a good idea or a setback for public education?
I don't think it's a setback. I think one of the problems with these high-stakes tests is, just as Nellie was mentioning, the other thing that I fear is that socioeconomically that kids who are better off and wealthier tend to do better on these than poor children.
The last word here to Maureen.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The debate is about the NECAP, but the real thing we have to focus on is the Common Core. That's coming down the road. And if you look at both the Democratic and the Republican candidates, they're very careful to say, while particularly the Democrats, they're not supportive of the NECAP, they are not opposed to the Common Core. We may have to get a little more time to make out, you know, better waivers. But the fact is the Common Core, I think, is an important step in education here in Rhode Island.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Nellie Gorbea.
Thank you very much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.